all of this work is very retrospective because I didn't even take inventory of what my values were until after the birth of my second child, just because out of necessity, I needed to take stock of what was going on in my life so that I could find a new path to move forward to sort of bring some more fulfillment back into my day-to-day.
Hello there. Welcome to Act Inspired Behavior, the show about real people and their real stories of transformation and change told through the lens of acceptance and commitment therapy. I'm Gabby Lanier. See if you can guess what movie I'm referring to. Bill Murray, he's asleep in bed, the covers are pulled up to his chin, and then the camera pans to the alarm clock. The clock's numbers flip from 5:59 to 6 a.m., and then the radio starts to play. This scene, it plays out again and again throughout the entire movie because it's Groundhog Day, and unfortunately for the main character, the day repeats itself over and over and over again. And so in the movie, you know, during that first day, it repeats the same scenarios, the same triggers, the same things that he has to do during the day are exactly the same, and there's no changing it. And there's no response that he can make that will move him forward in time. He's just stuck. This is the movie that Courtney Bilton, she very much relates to. She's the mom of two young children, and she's someone who last year around this exact time, so late February, she was preparing to go on vacation and then return from her year-long maternity leave with her second kiddo. And as you can imagine, this is the same time last year when the pandemic hit, causing everything in her life and everything in your life to pause. And so this repeating of the same exact day that kind of happened to everybody, there is basically no better way for this movie to have come to life and to have oddly become true for all of us. So I just want to say, if you haven't seen this movie, I really encourage you to watch it. I personally just love Bill Murray. And I also feel like you will find it both hilarious and incredibly validating. And perhaps you are a parent and can relate to this sense of monotony, this repeating of the same day or the same scenarios over and over and over again, whether it's, you know, changing a diaper or responding to a tantrum or, you know, preparing meals or cleaning up meals or doing laundry ad infinitum. But regardless of your personal situation, I ask you, in this continual sameness, where do you find value? And how do you make meaning of it all? So that's what we're going to explore today. As parents or as people stuck in quarantine or as a person stuck in a rut that feels like Groundhog Day, I am sure there's some part of this story that you can relate to, and hopefully it will spark a new response to it all, causing you to stop and take stock of your values. Welcome, Courtney, to the Act Inspired Behavior podcast. I am beyond excited to talk to you this morning. And before we get into your story, I'd love for you to introduce yourself to people and to tell them who you are and what you do.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to chat with you. I am Courtney Bilton, a board certified behavior analyst in the Greater Toronto Area in Ontario, Canada. And I am a mom to a 1.5-year-old and a 3.5-year-old. And I've been working in autism services for over a decade. So I guess that's a little snapshot of me.
Awesome. I think we've met maybe over a year ago.
Yeah, I started Bilton Behavior. That's behavior with a U because I'm spelling it the Canadian way. And I started that on my second maternity leave, as sort of a way to be creative and continue diving into research. And it was just a way to connect with people. So, and it's been an amazing way to connect with people like you.
Yeah, Oh gosh, I totally agree. And I've really enjoyed seeing your journey. I don't know if your journey and my journey started around the same time. So I started around May of 2019, I think. And then I started writing blogs, Courtney, you would read them. And I get this sense that you are a huge reader and, like you said, researcher, and that's one of your big, big values. So I love that you really embody that in your social media presence.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I am definitely a huge reader. And so, especially when I saw Act and Behavior. What's your handle, your account?
It's act-inspired behavior.
Act Inspired Behavior, yes. And I was like, oh, I need to hear more about this ACT thing. So, sort of that sort of right around when my ACT journey was starting, when I was starting to learn more about executive
Cool.
employment therapy. And then I found your account and started reading your blog. And yeah, it helped me have a deeper understanding because I knew it was something I wanted to start incorporating into my life, especially as a parent. ACT definitely seemed like a solution, a way to move forward in some of the barriers I was experiencing as a new mom. Which is
Well,
why I'm excited to chat with you because I feel like I really am just at the infancy of my journey with ACT, and exploring. You know what it is and what it has to offer. So I'm excited to hear sort of you chime in and your feedback as I'm speaking to hear what that brings up for you.
yeah, that sounds awesome. So you're going to talk about how you've become a parent and how the values that you've had as a parent have grown and changed over time. Is that right?
Yeah, I would say as I was thinking back about it, it's sort of more how I can incorporate more values into my parenting instead of being so single-minded on, I guess, yeah, just having more breadth or variety in values instead of being laser focused on one or two values.
Oh, I'm so excited about this. It's really hard to be a parent, and your value systems change so dramatically when you become a parent. So today, when we definitely have this in common. I'm about to have my second kid here in the spring. You have two kids, and that's a big part of your life. And so I know today you're going to talk about being a parent and your values. So, where do you want to start, Courtney?
As we were chatting, as we were preparing to speak together today, we were talking about the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray.
Yes.
And so my story is going to be a complete ripoff of that movie. Right? So I wake up as a parent to find myself reliving, it feels like the exact same moment, day after day, and nothing that I was doing would change the outcome. You know, you're waking up and you're breastfeeding and you're cleaning another exploded diaper and you're doing another load of laundry and you're struggling to throw together a semi-nutritious meal in a reasonable amount of time. And you're wondering when you're going to sleep again and how you're going to sleep. It didn't matter what day it was. I didn't even know what day it was after a long time. The days just blended all together. And I just found that my day-to-day wasn't sparking joy, and I wasn't finding fulfillment in my new role as a stay-at-home mom. And in Canada, currently, we have the option of staying home for 12 to 18 months and having our jobs protected during that time and having some of us qualify for a portion of our salaries to still be dispersed to us over that time. So, yeah, so my husband and I agreed that we could afford for me to take 12 months off work. So I had committed to being a stay-at-home mom for my family for 12 months. And sort of the only thing that seemed to get me through my first 12-month maternity leave with my firstborn was just saying, you just have to do this, you know, for 11 more months. You just have to do this for 10 more months. You just, and then
counting down the days, the months.
Yeah. And then you can, and then you can go back to work. And the second time around, I that's not how I wanted to experience my time at home with my children. I didn't want it to be an experience I was tolerating or suffering through. I really wanted to find a way to get more enjoyment out of my time at home with my family, as I was devastated by the loss of my career and of the freedom and flexibility and the joy that I experienced spending time with my friends and family. So as certain parts of those of my life were sort of falling away, I wanted to find new ways to connect with myself and connect with my family and connect with my friends.
So I want to take us back a little bit, Courtney. Let's take you back to when you were pregnant. So selfishly, like, I'm so curious to know, because that's where I am right now. So you're pregnant with your second kid and you're awaiting this birth, and then you kind of know you have this change coming. So like, what are the values you had then around staying at home for 12 months and taking care of your two kids? Like, what were you looking forward to?
So I've been working with children and youth diagnosed with autism spectrum disorders for over a decade. And I love each of my clients with all of my heart and soul. So I was really excited to have that connection with a child of my own, where I could make the decisions and those things that, instead of upholding the values of the family that I was working with and striving towards meeting their goals, I was excited to have the opportunity to set my own goals for my family and work towards those. And to continue to experience that love and fulfillment of being in service. You know, that's something that's always been a value of mine, is being of service to other people, to my community, providing unconditional support and love to those around me. So I was excited to have my own family to do that for. And then my children came, and did I love them with all of my heart and soul? Yes. And was I committed to providing that nurturing and that support and that care? I was. I just wasn't feeling any of the joy, I wasn't feeling fulfilled by any of those actions or my work, my role as a mother, as I did in my work with the children and the family that I worked with. It didn't feel the same.
Yeah. It's kind of like you just can't, it's like you're in that day to day. There is no leaving. You're there all the time. And you get that sense when you go to work. I mean, I get that sense when I say goodbye to him, my son, you know, to go to daycare, and I go to work. There's that separation, and that actually for me feels so good, because then I, you know, get a chance to do other things, and then I get a chance to come home and be a parent. So did you have this sense of, before you were about to have your second child, that your life was going to change radically, even from having the first to the second?
Yes. I was always saying before my first to my husband, things are going to be so different. They're going to be so different. And he was like, stop saying that. Stop saying like our lives are over and this horrible catastrophe is going to fall upon us. like, why are what I was just like, I'm just trying to be open. I'm just trying to be honest. And so it happened, and it was difficult, and it was challenging, and it and I struggled in ways, even as I was prepared for the biggest challenge of my life, I still struggled in ways that I didn't even know were possible. And this, so I feel like that switch of being the switch of being Courtney, and everything in my life, as much as I give to others, my life really was just about me. And the flexibility that I had to learn raising children, I just didn't feel like myself necessarily anymore. I wasn't just making decisions for myself. I was now considering another human being. And that was just a massive shift in my thinking.
Yeah. And going back to that movie around Groundhog's Day, you know, he was this person who was, I mean, not to compare you to necessarily, but he was very much the center of his own world. Mm-hmm. And he just walked through the world doing things well and just kind of moving forward. And then this experience, it gets him stuck and he can't move forward. He loses his own sense of who he is. Who is he if he can't accomplish things and do things and do impressive things?
Mm. Yeah, what value does life hold for him?
If you take away all that stuff, all the moving forward.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. One thing I wanted to ask you, Courtney, was as you're moving forward in your journey as a parent, looking back to the values you first had before you had your second kid, or even before you had both kids, do you still connect with those same values, or have they changed and evolved over time?
So all of this work is very retrospective, because I didn't even take inventory of what my values were until after the birth of my second child, just because out of necessity, I needed to take stock of what was going on in my life so that I could find a new path to move forward to sort of bring some more fulfillment back into my day-to-day, especially after when, you know, my ultimate trick of there's only 3 months left, there's only 2 months left, there's only 1 month left, hey, COVID-19, how about a lockdown? How about your kids are not going back to daycare? How about you're not going back to work? How about all the outlets that you so desperately depended upon, such as community activities and being able to see friends and family? Those are no longer strategies available to you. Then it really felt like Groundhog Day. Because something that I've like always known to be true was that it's important that I show unconditional love and support to those around me. And it's important that I experience joy in the activities that I do, that I choose to do things that feel good for me. And, you know, as Bill Murray's character sort of experience, when he starts doing things for others and acting in service of others, instead of wondering, what am I going to get out of this? That's sort of when he makes a shift. Mm-hmm. And for me, that wasn't the simple answer. The simple answer wasn't to continue to be selfless for my family. That was not providing me the joy and the fulfillment that I was seeking. It was draining me. I didn't find it rewarding. I didn't find it enjoyable. And simply saying to myself, but, you know, you're changing another dirty diaper for their health and well-being to help them grow into strong individuals that are going to contribute to society. That wasn't enough for me. Or, you know, you're having another extended breastfeeding session where you're cramped in an awkward position and your baby's not latching properly and it's painful and it's uncomfortable and it's taking a long time, you know, but you're doing this for the you know, the long-term goal, that none of those conversations with myself were working to make me feel better about the situation that I was in. I kept finding myself moment after moment, day after day, in repetitive, monotonous tasks that were bringing absolute zero joy to myself, and the thoughts that I was having were, I was just miserable. And so I needed to find something different so that I could start to bring some more joy back into my life.
Yeah.
So I think, like, how, and then, like, I'm just talking about all the barriers because, like, I haven't found the perfect solution. And, you know, the end of my story isn't that, that I can tell you guys, here's the path that I took. Maybe you might want to try these steps and see that it works for you. I'm still in this place and I'm still struggling and I'm still trying to find what works for me. So if it sounds like I'm just focusing all on all the difficulties and all the downside, it's because I still haven't quite found found the path that I'm going to take, something that I feel really confident in, something that really resonates with me. So,
yeah, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. And I know that when you also interviewed on that same panel for, you know, How Do You Hold On to Hope with Jessica Zoltzky. And that was your message. Like, I'm not there yet. Like, I'm still struggling. And which makes total complete sense because, like you said, stepping back and looking at the entire context of where you're at, you went on this 12-month maternity leave. And then how long were you back at work before COVID hit?
I didn't. I was supposed to go back to work in April.
Oh my gosh.
And the lockdown happened in March. Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, to make matters worse, so we'd planned this family vacation to Florida in March. And that was going to be it. We were going to go to Florida in March. I was going, because it's cold and snowy, and we were going to go get some sunshine. Have this really beautiful time together as a family, come back. Then I was going to go back to work. And then Florida never happened, and going back to work never happened. And on top of not, like, seeing my colleagues again, I went back to work virtually. So I was working from home with a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old. And it just, all the issues I was having that I wasn't confronting, that I wasn't working through, because I was just like, it's fine. They're going to go back to daycare and that's just going to solve a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Now that wasn't my reality. And so I really needed to pivot and find some other solution.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Courtney, that sounds so hard. Because I was totally envisioning you having gone back to work. And I know that you took those 12 months off on purpose, very purposefully, but there was this expiration date, which I would guess that you were really looking forward to. And then by no choice of your own, circumstances and world events forced you into another situation in which not only are you, like, staying at home, but you're staying at home and working. And then there is no expiration date in mind. And this is continuing much, much longer than we all anticipated. I can understand why you would feel how you feel. And yet at the same time, I'm like, I can't even imagine. That sounds so hard.
It was overwhelming and really I want people to hear sort of if you're struggling, sometimes there are legitimate barriers that need to be solved before you can move forward. Like for me, it didn't matter the amount of self-inventory I took and the amount of work that I did on myself and changing sort of my goals and my focus and my actions. It really wasn't until 4 months after lockdown when my kids were able to go back to daycare part-time and then full-time in September. I really couldn't make any headway until I had that distance from them, until they were back to daycare. It really was just surviving. I was just in survival mode.
Yeah. I think that's really validating for me. It is for me. And then I'm sure for other people out there too, who are like currently in that struggle and don't see a way out right now. That part of the process is contacting and experiencing that struggle and knowing deeply what it is, and yet having zero capacity to change it in any meaningful way.
Yeah.
And one thing that I've experienced as a parent is that it is helpful, really, really helpful, to just recognize the fact that you do have all these barriers. And when you are disappointed by the fact that you haven't made progress in something, like maybe you're wanting to start exercising or something, or get up early, that you look and say like, well, of course it's hard. And of course I keep failing because I'm getting not enough sleep, or I don't have enough time to do it because I have to work and then take care of my kids outside of work. I'm always taking care of them. So of course it's hard.
And having all of these challenges and all of these uncomfortable thoughts and feelings has given me a lot of practice in accepting those discomforts and saying to myself, yeah, you know what? It makes sense that you would be having this reaction and that you would be feeling this way.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of practice with extra unhappy thoughts and feelings lately to sort of check in with myself and just acknowledge, yep, that's how you feel sometimes, and it makes sense that this is happening.
So I want to interrupt for a minute here. At the beginning, I mentioned how in the daily grind of living a life that feels super repetitive and monotonous, you know, it's really challenging to ask ourselves, how do we evaluate what we care about and then behave accordingly? Especially as, even though maybe the context is the same, you know, that the daily scenarios are similar, your thoughts and your feelings are constantly changing, right? And so your ability to respond to some of those thoughts and feelings are what are changing. And sometimes they change in a way that don't feel very aligned with the things that you care about most. So, you know, the question is like, how do we make a meaningful life out of a situation that feels less than ideal? And what I really appreciate about Courtney's story is how her values have changed over the years. You know, prior to the birth of her first child, she mentioned that she really valued unconditional love and how that kind of grew out of her work with her clients. And then over time, as she encountered that daily grind of being a parent to her own kids, she realized that her unconditional love was a value that she had, but it wasn't necessarily enough to kind of fill in that broader sense of what she really needed. This value didn't meet her needs, especially when it came to nurturing her own personal values of who she was, and that those values she held dear for herself personally, they honestly started to fall away for her. Like, she lost that sense of who she was, you know? Values is not like an end goal. It's this quality, and it's characterized by a series of actions that you do and patterns that make up your life from now until forever. So just for a moment, and you can choose to close your eyes if that helps you, but I want you to imagine yourself hiking through the woods, and you happen to be by yourself. And then you hear, as you're hiking, you know, the sounds of your footsteps and maybe the way that the cool air chills your cheeks as you're moving through the woods. And you also, you have something in your pocket, this little tool. And what it is it's a simple compass. So I invite you to pause for a moment and take it out of your pocket and then place it upright, flat in the palm of your hand. Notice the weight of it. And notice what direction that needle is pointing right now. It might not be in the direction that you're going. But whatever direction is quote unquote north, let's call it your true north. The place you want to go in this exact moment, and maybe that will lead you to the top of a summit or toward a place to drink water or back to the path that you need to be on or maybe back to the parking lot to go home. When you think of your values, whether it comes to parenting or self-care or romantic relationships or anything else, think of your compass as akin to maybe a moral compass. But in this particular example, I'm referring to how values change your true north in any given circumstance, you know, whether it be right here, right now, or there and then. That context is constantly changing. That true north is always changing, much like the needle on your compass. Values are inherently contextual. It doesn't make sense to value something unless there's a context behind it. And that's where mindfulness can come into place, because when you're mindful, you can connect to the here and now and recognize your values as it matters to you right now. Before I move on, I wanted to share about what's going on for me right now as a mom, as a pregnant lady, as a person dedicated to this work of sharing stories and providing a platform for you to learn about acceptance and commitment therapy, and as a coach and as a writer. I'm honestly really struggling right now. I am in my third trimester, and I'm just facing a lot of honestly really normal barriers, nothing huge. There's no medical crisis happening for me right now. But when it comes to my energy level and just my capacity to do things that I could normally do before, I feel incapacitated right now. I'm about 7.5 months pregnant, and I just feel really humbled and sad about some of the limitations that my body is presenting to me right now, knowing how much more of a struggle and how many more barriers are kind of ahead of me. Not to be too negative, but it's true. I know that things are going to change dramatically. And so for me, I had envisioned doing so much before my baby came into this world. And so right now I'm learning to take stock and see my surroundings, you know, and view my values from an altogether different lens. My compass looks different right now than it did even a month ago. And I want to share this because in listening to Courtney's story, I hear myself saying in my head, oh my gosh, that's me. That's kind of how I feel right now in my own way. Like I'm struggling to get out of bed. I'm struggling to do basic things to keep myself balanced and continue my desire to do this work in a way that feels authentic and energy giving. And I will tell you that after taking stock of my own values, I've realized that I simply want to enjoy the journey that I'm on. And I want to pause and appreciate these small kind of infinite moments of joy that this journey has to offer me right here, right now, in this particular moment in time. And one value that has really come out of this kind of work, this introspection, is the value of gentleness and of slowness. And when I think about these values and see those qualities in my own actions, I feel so grounded and I feel alive and not merely existing as a person driven to go to that next stage in my life. Like I can actually pause and enjoy where I am right now. So finding joy in those everyday moments, in those times that I know that will change and the context will change in the matter of weeks or months. But having that value in mind has been really helpful for me. And so in the next few months, I'm going to be making this huge transition between being a mom of one and a mom of two, among many other changes, I'm sure, and I have honestly yet to find out. I invite you to join me on this journey in the sense that I intend to be pretty open and honest about how I'm doing, and I hope that you can feel validated because maybe you're going through your own transition or thinking about one in the future. And for now, what I want to share is my value of slowing down. Okay, so let's go back to Courtney's story and see how her values continue to change depending on where her journey takes her, and that despite her hard-pressed efforts to control the situation and make it better, she doesn't have direct control over some of the barriers that she faces along her journey, and that damn alarm clock that goes off every day, no matter what. Despite these challenges, ask yourself as you listen, does she still have access to her compass? Is learning to use her compass part of her journey?
If you could envision in your somewhat near future, a moment in which you are really, really connecting with your values, could you envision a moment in which you're confronted with that same trigger or that same monotonous situation where you're momming it? What would that moment be? And like, how would that be different than maybe the first couple of times you experienced it?
I mean, the time and effort that I'm putting into, you know, making these choices, you know, parenting my children from a place of unconditional love and support. And even though there's nothing enjoyable to me about reading Brown Bear, What Do You See? A million times in a row. And like personally makes me want to grab a fork and poke my eyeballs with it so I never have to read that book again. But just doing those things because I want to instill a sense of, you know, in my children, if you enjoy doing something, you know, that's what you should be spending your time doing. So if you like reading, like let's spend our time reading. And yeah, and already I do love seeing my kids light up when we get new books from the library, and having, you know, quiet moments are so rare. Calm moments are so rare. And when they do just want to sit and snuggle and flip through the pages of a book, that is so fulfilling and rewarding because knowledge is such a key value of mine. And through reading, I gain so much knowledge, and to see that my children enjoy reading and that they're learning new things. They're learning new words. They're pointing to the pictures and naming animals and colors. And so, you know, and especially in the first 12 months, those aren't the skills that you see.
Yeah.
And so I think as it gets easier as time goes on, because again, these parenting habits just, they become habitual. They become so easy and simple. And then your child reaches that developmental age where now you start to see what it was all for. And now you start to see these fantastic skills, and it's more of a reciprocal relationship where they're starting to give back to you, and you don't just feel like you're throwing your love into an abyss and you're not really sure where it's getting stuck up and what it's getting turned into.
So maybe we should have an update episode where we talk afterwards and I can laugh after, you know, having the baby, how different I think and feel about the whole situation. I'd love to keep in touch with you on this journey.
Absolutely. I'm totally down for that. I'm interested to see how this all plays out for both of us. I'm going to go bask in the sunshine of my beautiful children's smiles and try to have a mindful moment before their struggle of nap time.
Before the storm rolls in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you can enjoy that too. I love the drama of storm sometimes.
I'll have to work on appreciating the torrential downpour and
wind
in the face. Yeah.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks. All right, thanks, Gabby.
Thank you so much, Courtney.
I see a
birdie.
That's right, a birdie.
Where's the cat?
They're at the end of the book, dear. I see a red bird looking at me.
In this episode, you heard from Courtney Bilton, a behavior analyst and an amazing woman who is making it through this pandemic as a mom, but also as a person who is driven to do things she cares about beyond taking care of her beautiful little kids. We learned that being a parent comes with its own set of barriers, both internal and external, and that there is no simple answer for navigating these barriers. But in the struggle, we can discover values and try to make meaning even out of the challenge. I love that her story contains no tidy ending with any one particular call to action, because there isn't a happy ending to parenting. Valuing, it's a process, right? It's part of the whole experience. And once you have kids, it doesn't necessarily get easier. It just, you know, you remove a barrier and then you're good. Things just keep getting challenging in different ways. And as Courtney mentioned, perhaps it's by just recognizing the struggle, we can validate our feelings and begin that process of acceptance, even if it doesn't mean the barrier goes away right now. So if you were to take stock and stop and look at your values right now, what would it be? I mean, like right now, in this very moment you're listening to this. Is it self-love, presence, connection, excellence, focus, courage, kindness? Like, what is it for you? What is on your compass right now? And once you take stock, you know, ask yourself, how would your actions reflect that value? And how could you change the way that you might even experience any one given action now that you're thinking about those values? How can you connect and embody those values in that action? Much like the changing scenery of a hike, your life takes these twists and turns, and sometimes you don't have control of it. But one thing you do have access to, no matter what, is your values compass. So pull it out. It's yours. If you're interested in learning more about Courtney and her work, you can follow her on Instagram at @BiltonBehavior and on Facebook if you just search Bilton Behavior. And I'll put those links in the show notes as well.
This looks fantastic. What did you make for our picnic?
I made bread too.
And you made bread too? Was it difficult?
No, it was us having fun.
If you're interested in reaching out and telling your story or would like to learn more through my blog, workshops, or coaching, find me on Instagram at @ActInspiredBehavior, email me at Gabby@ActInspiredBehaviorCoaching.com, or use the link in my website listed in the show notes. I'd love to hear from you. If this episode resonated with you, subscribe to this podcast and stay tuned for future episodes. And please take a moment to rate and review this show, because it is so, so helpful in getting others to find this show as well. Thank you so much.
You were just having fun while you were making your bread?
Yeah.
Good.
It's made out of poo.
It's made out of poo.
And diapers.
And diapers.
Let's eat the sandwiches made out of poo.
Let's eat the sandwiches made out of poo. How do they taste, Leah?
Hello again. I want to take a moment and say that this podcast is for educational purposes only. Content and conversation provided in this podcast should not be taken as or replace professional or therapeutic recommendations. As a board-certified behavior analyst, my goal is to disseminate ACT and behavior analysis to the wider public and have meaningful conversations to further explore our understanding. If you are concerned about your own personal well-being, I encourage you to seek out the help of a licensed professional who can provide individual support to you. Thank you so much.